We're going to read to start with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Last week, I taught on part of this verse, and we'll look at that just a second. The verse of Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Is this one of my favorite verses in the Bible? I consider this the best verse for the gospel. Gospel being the good news. And this is talking about God here, who's the who in this. And it's preceded by stir up the gift that is in you, that was put in you by the laying on of my hands to Timothy. And then he says this, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And then it goes on to say, where Paul says, be not ashamed of me as prisoner. And then he goes in and says, God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, which is one of my favorite parts. It also coincides with Ephesians 2, 6, 7, and 8. We are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says he saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Last week I talked a lot about the calling of God on our lives. And I asked how many people knew what the calling of God was on their lives. And not, there were quite a few people, maybe they didn't want to raise their hands, but they didn't, you know, quite a few. And it took me kind of by surprise that there's a lot of people that Christian brothers and sisters believing in Jesus, they don't know what the call of God is on their life. Well, we talked about that call. We went into Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we talked about the Greek word for the word called. It's klesis. And we talked about how that word is used in one of the names of the Holy Spirit, which is comforter. And that word for comforter, where Jesus says, I'm going to send a comforter to you, is paraklesis. So one who stands alongside you to help you with the call of God on your life. And so this same verse before it says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. It hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, this is interesting because, see, that word power in the Greek is the Greek word dunamis. And we get the, where he says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis. How many of you would like to see miracles happen in the church? Did you know the word miracle, in several places where it refers to the word miracle in the Bible, is the same Greek word for power as dunamis? We get our word dynamite from the word dunamis. It means power. It says in John, the first chapter, it says, but as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word power in the Greek is the Greek exousia, which means authority. We get our word executive from that. So exousia comes by receiving Christ. Dynamite comes from receiving the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ. Amen? and it's just a side issue. You know, the word protest comes from the word pro, which is to put forth, and test is short for testament or testifying. And the word protest is when you bring forth, put forth an argument or a statement that you're stating that you're testifying that what you're talking about, what they said, is wrong. You're testifying, or what they said was right. And we get our word Protestant from the word protest and the word protestament. So we are, as Protestants, we protested what was in, contrary to the Word of God. And in the Reformation period, where the word Protestant began, was concerning the Roman Catholic Church at that time. Just an added issue. But I talked to you about called. And rather than give a review here, I want to share with you, this is a bulletin. And on the back of the bulletin, back page of the bulletin, you have this thing right here. This thing is right here. You see this? And right down there is our website. And on our website, you can access that and get the podcast. And so if you want to know what I talked about last week, podcast it and learn from it if you weren't here. Because I'm going to get right into what I want to talk about. So put that verse back up, please. There's two things. One thing I didn't share last week, which I have come to appreciate in this past week in meditating on this verse and other scriptures. It says he saved us and called us with a holy calling. And the one thing that I didn't share last week is the call of God on your life is on the same level or equal to the word saved in this particular situation. The call of God is equal to being saved. And I look at it this way. You're saved from something. You're saved from sin. You're called to something. All right? So being called is part of the salvation. And if you don't understand that way, look at it this way. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a treasure of his own, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. That's important because we're going to look at something about that in a minute. A royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the calling of God is into the marvelous light of God. Now, we're not going to look into specifics. That's something you have to go before God and learn on your own. But we're going to look at something else today that is in relationship to the call of God. So, okay, you say, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? This time we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So you see, purpose is associated with calling. Grace is associated with salvation. And those are by the means with which he has saved us and called us. His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began. That's how incredibly magnificent it is. Okay, and I wanted to. Somebody said to me recently, which you know I can appreciate where they're coming from, that you know that I talk about Greek words and he said that's all right. He enjoys it, but it, you know they're not that important to him, and I understand that. I remember the first time I was talking to somebody about Greek, and somebody said to me, "You ought to come to my church. He goes into the Greek." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, I was just saved. And I'm like, what? Why would he go into the Greek? You know? And come to find out, I didn't even know that the New Testament was written in Greek. And so to find certain meanings of words, it turns out that I'm a kind of a wordaholic when it comes to words. And I like to know what words really mean and where they come from and so forth. And so I want to talk to you about this word, purpose. And if I didn't go into the Greek, I would have never discovered some of the things that I found out about purpose. And I'm going to share with you some of those things. First of all, this is my Vines dictionary. And I'm going to share with you something that I didn't know about purpose. The word purpose is the Greek word prothesis, okay? And which is that in itself is going to be kind of interesting, because prothesis is also an English word. And prothesis, the English word, comes from the Greek word prothesis. But you didn't know that. Say amen. Prothesis, it's a setting forth. And then it says, used of the shewbread. Okay. A purpose of the purposes of God. And then it goes on, spiritual purpose. And then it says something underneath it. That's prothesis. And then it says, showbread. See showbread. I'm like, at this point, I'm thinking, maybe you know these things I'm about to share. Maybe you've studied these things and have learned these things. But I was like, what on earth has it got to do with showbread? And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you that I hardly knew anything about the showbread. You know, I knew that Jesus mentions it one time, but I didn't know this. And my wife was kind of like concerned about me reading this because it was a little too far out there. When I say far out there, not so much far out there to believe, but far out there to get. You follow me? But you're going to get it by the time I get through. Maybe not through this one, but I'm not. By the time I get through it, you're going to get it. All right? Looked up showbread, okay? And it is a combination of prothesis, the word in the Greek. It's formed by the combination of the nouns prothesis, means setting forth, and the word artos, which means bread. So the showbread is, in one word, is a compound word starting with prothesis. And so what does that mean? And so prothesis says this. It says, it gives all these references, and I'm going to skip the references in the Bible because these are quotes. The loaves, as far as the showbread was concerned, the loaves of the setting forth in Hebrews. And it says the setting forth of the loaves. Loaves, sometimes it's phrased that way. It's the bread of the face. And the face is the presence of God. And now remember, what were we talking about? The purpose of God, right? And the showbread is the bread of the face, or bread of the presence of God. It also is referring to the presence of God. In some bread of ordering. Bread of ordering. And these are all Old Testament references. A continual bread. You know what a continual bread means? An eternal bread. A holy bread. And it says, the bread of the offering. It says, now it gets into where it's coming from in the Old Testament, because originally it was in the Old Testament. The 12 loaves representing the tribes of Israel were set in order every Sabbath day before the Lord. The 12 loaves of the showbread. The showbread is prothesis, and then the loaf is, in the Greek, prothesis and artos. And so it says this, the 12 loaves representing the tribes of Israel were set in order every Sabbath day before the Lord on behalf of the children, an everlasting covenant, in quotes. The 12 loaves were a representation of the everlasting covenants. The loaves symbolized the fact that on the basis of the sacrificial atonement of the cross, believers are accepted before God and nourished by Him in the person of Christ. Say, I'm nourished by God in the person of Christ. I'm nourished by God in the person of Christ. And this was the showbread. And remember, the showbread is the word purpose. So how is that connected? The showbread was partaken by the priest. What I'm going to show you in a minute is this is another section where Jesus shows that the priesthood is being taken away from the Levitical order and given back to the believer. Right? We are the priesthood, a royal nation, a holy people, a peculiar treasure of His own, a royal priesthood. We are a priesthood. And that part of that purpose is part of that priesthood. Right? The showbread was partaken by the priest, a representative of the as representatives of the nation. What part of your purpose, the purpose of your calling is to represent Christ as the living bread before the world. We're going to go into that. It's going to get even better, much better. Not that that was not great to start with. Priesthood now being coextensive with all who belong to Christ. So you now are part of the priesthood. He is the living bread, is the nourishment of all. The living bread is the nourishment of every one of us. And where He is, there, representatively, they are, or we are. Amen? And now that's, my wife says, that's a little kind of hard to understand. I think this next one you're going to do a lot better with. This is out of my Unger's Bible Dictionary. It's more of a commentary than it is a dictionary. But I looked up showbread, and it said, see tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle of Moses? And this is what the showbread was used for in the tabernacle. The table of showbread. The table of showbread is a type of Christ as the bread of life, the sustainer of each individual believer priest. It is the manna portrays the life-giving Christ. The showbread, the life-sustaining Christ. Christ is the bread which came down from heaven. John 6:33-58. As the showbread prefigures the grain of wheat. Now I want you to put up John 12:24. John 12:24. Listen to this now. The showbread prefigures the grain of wheat. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain, and that word corn means grain, all right? Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. We just had a whole thing about seed, planting seeds, right? Well, this is talking about planting a seed here. And it says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. A grain of wheat, in order to produce as a farmer, and George ought to know, because the word George means farmer. It actually means that. Okay? As a farmer, unless it falls into the earth and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, and this is where he is telling them how he has to go to the cross and die. And if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Say, I'm a fruit. We're the grains that are bringing forth much fruit. And I want to read this again, if I haven't read it already. In John 12:24, a grain of wheat, in order to become the showbread, pulverized in the mill of suffering, You see, it's grinding. Remember what we said? The word tribulation actually comes from a word, a Roman word, which actually talks about the tribulation is referring to the millstone, this huge giant mill that grinds out the grain, the seed, and makes flour out of it. Well, and that's the word tribulation comes from that. And it says, except it die and falls to the earth, it bringeth not fruit. And it says this, it is pulverized in the mill of suffering, tribulation, and subjected to the fire of divine judgment for sin. Okay, now what that means is Jesus not only fell into the earth, but the seed brought forth fruit. His seed was ground into powder and made flour and then made oil and water and baked in the oven and fired up in the oven in order to bring forth the bread of life. Do you understand that? Now, I hope you're beginning to see that God's holy purpose for your life is to follow in the same thing. Let's read this next verse and we'll see. It says, he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life, in this world shall keep it unto everlasting. Now I want you to turn to Luke, the 9th chapter, verse, I have it written down right in here, 9, I think it's verse 23. But we're going to make sure for sure here. Oh, by the way, incidentally, I just want to share this before I forget. Not so much before I forget, but I don't want to run out of time because I want to share this. I looked up, excuse me, I looked up the word prothesis in the dictionary. That's how I found out that prothesis is an English word. But it's taken from the Greek word prothesis. All right? And do you know what I found out? And this is in Webster's Dictionary. Prothesis, it says, the Orthodox Eastern Church, preparation and offering of the Eucharist. You know what Eucharist is? Eucharist is the breaking of the bread. Actually, the word Eucharist means thankful or thanksgiving. And it's an interesting word because it comes from the prefix is EU, which means well or good. And then the charist comes from the word grace, charis. The word for grace is charis. So Eucharist is much thanks or much grace. That's why, you ever wonder why when they say, let's bow our heads and say grace at the table? You ever wonder, what do you mean, say grace? It makes sense if you want to say, shall we give thanks for our food? That makes sense to us, but grace, because grace is the word charis, and the word thankful is Eucharist. So that's just a thrown in thing. But listen to this. This is cool. Orthodox Eastern Church preparation and offering of the Eucharist bread and wine before the liturgy was called the prothesis, and the prothesis, the table on which the elements rested, and the part of the church where all these things in the stands and the table were left. There was a special part of the church where the table and the elements and all the things that were related to communion, the Eucharist, all of it combined, the process and everything else was called the prothesis, which is and also translated purpose. So the purpose of your life is to follow Christ. You know, we talked about last week, we talked about, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you see that? And so, and then it says, and them he has called, them he has predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Verse 29. Are you beginning to get the picture of this? Now let's go to, and we'll finish with this, Luke, the 9th chapter, and I will tell you what verse. All right. Hallelujah. Start Matthew 12. Matthew 12 is a good one too. But you know what? I'm going to read Matthew 12 really, really. And it says, listen to this, all right? Remember we talked about how the priesthood is being restored to the believer? How Jesus restored the priesthood in the believer? There are so many hints to this in the Bible. This is one of them. This is out of Matthew 12. And then he says this. He says, well, the Pharisees saw that verse 1, he says, and at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and the disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And he says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said, have you never read what David did when he was hungry? And this is the only thing I knew about the showbread, by the way, before. What, he was hungry, and he says, and they were with him, how he entered in the house of God and did eat the showbread. All right? Now, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with that? There's two things wrong with that. One is it's on the Sabbath day. And the other one is the showbread is what the priest ate. You see, so David is saying, and Jesus is comparing what David did to what his disciples are doing when they're eating the grain as they're on the Sabbath day. So he is saying that we are now the priest. They are the priest now. Do you see that? And it's so clear. And he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread. And then he goes on and says, or have you not read in the law that the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place one greater than the temple. We have one greater than the temple. His name is Jesus. But if you had known this, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. And the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath day. And that was a perfect example of the showbread being used as an example to say, you know, the priests aren't eating the showbread anymore. Well, the priests are eating it. It's us. We're eating the showbread. All right, now let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter, and I'll finish with this. If you get this, your life's going to change. I have been getting this, and my life has been changing. And I want to tell you something. This is awesome. All right, verse 22. We'll start with verse 22. Let's put it up there. Okay, saying the Son of Man must suffer, and he's telling his disciples how the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Remember we were reading that in John a while ago, Matthew 24 and John, this says this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And I'm going to say, in a general sense, this is the calling of God on your life. To take up the cross daily and follow him. And this is what it requires. God has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And it isn't a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday thing. And he said to them, and whosoever will save his life, you know, a while ago it said shall hate his life. It says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, here's the interesting thing. In the NIV, it puts that verse back up, please. It says, whosoever, and it says this, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In the NIV, it says, whoever wants to save his life. Wow. Do you understand the difference between whosoever will and whosoever wants? There is a walk with God that is so amazing that you don't even want anything else. Do you understand that? Do you see that? And it's picking up your cross. And what is his cross? His cross, the showbread. Remember, they ate the 12 loaves of the showbread. What for? For the provision of the people. Do you see? And our cross is the same cross. Jesus, it says, to them he called, them he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What is the image of Jesus Christ? The image of Jesus Christ was go to the cross for us. Now, if we're going to take up the cross and follow him, then we are going to eat the showbread for the people. In other words, we are going to eat the bread of life so that the bread of life is in us and that we become the bread of life. We are the bread of life to the world. You know, Tim Keller made a comment one time about if we could just understand the call of God on our lives, we would. He gave an illustration one time, and it was a true story. In one of the radio stations, I can't remember, Chicago, big city, they put out a call on the radio. It says, "What is wrong with the world today?" What is wrong with the world today? And people were calling in and giving all these answers and all these things that they were saying. And then this Catholic priest called in. And he said, and on the radio, he gave his name. And I can't remember what it was, but Tim Keller shared his name. And he said, "What's wrong with the world today?" He says, "I am what's wrong with the world today. I am what's wrong with the world today." Now, for those of us, we believe with the righteousness of Christ in him, amen. But do you know what's wrong with the world today? It isn't the sin that is going on. It isn't the raves that are going on. It isn't the spring break with all the naked kids out there getting drunk going on. It isn't all the seniors down on Main Street getting drunk that's wrong with the world today. It's the church. Do you understand what I mean by that? Why am I saying that? If my people shall humble themselves and pray. Do you see that? And so what if my people will take up the cross and the priesthood and eat the showbread so that they can be the bread of life for the dying world, then we can feed the world. The bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. You understand? We're just not there. And I want to be there. I said some time back, I said, "God, you promised that in Christ I was predestined before the world began to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ." And I said to myself, I'm a long ways off. I'm really off. God, I claim that promise because whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises I become a partaker of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption of that is in the world through lust. And so by being a partaker of the promise that says before the world began, I was predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the confirmation or being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ is taking up the cross and following him and not even wanting to save my life. See, it's not enough to just choose not to save your life. You don't even want to anymore. You see, he that would want to save his life shall lose it. And I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about living the kingdom of God life on earth. And, you know, I just suddenly realized, you know, like, for example, the word tribulation. It says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And the word tribulation, grinding that grain so that it become flour and mixing the oil of the Holy Ghost and the water of the washing of the water by the word, mixing it with that flour and becoming a loaf of bread, becoming a loaf of the shoe bread, becoming the loaf of bread that's on this table that represents the loaf of Jesus Christ. And when you get ground by the tribulations of this world, and you get planted in the earth and you die. See, that's what's going to save the world. And that's what this priest was trying to say. I'm the problem because I'm not doing what I should be doing. I'm not living what I should be living. I'll tell you, when I started praying, Lord, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, I had no idea what was coming down the pike. But I'll tell you what, it's sure been good. All things working together for my good. What's my good? To be called according to his purpose. That's what good is. You can't get no gooder than that. Hello? That is good. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your holy purpose. We thank you, Lord, for prothesis, the prothesis of the bread and the wine. In the holy altar where we break bread together. You know, George was preaching a while ago about how important tithing is and how important it is if, as far as an act of worship and declaring, God, you're worth this. You're worth me giving the first. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall it be well with thee on the earth. Hallelujah. So it's an act of worship, but it's also an act of worship when we break bread. And today, when you're taking that bread, say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you all the way. And by taking this bread, I become the showbread. I begin to fulfill the calling of God according to your holy purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.